We are at 10F, page 9 on our outline. Last occasion we looked at faith as a word study and its scriptural usage, and then talked about its three primary elements. Now we want to move on to discuss experientially how faith operates in the soul. I've got four things to say here. First of all, that faith empties us of all our righteousness. It's a soul-emptying grace. To lay hold of Christ and to treasure His righteousness obliges us at the same time to lose our own righteousness. Faith cannot have two objects of righteousness. So by implication, faith teaches humility, the total emptiness of all within the sinner when he is viewed outside of Christ. So faith means utter despair of everything except Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit uses faith in Christ to enlighten me more and more to my desperate situation in anything that isn't Christ. So far from being a work of merit, faith is a realizing of my demerit. It's a becoming aware of divine mercy. And that is necessary, you see, to appreciate the beauty of the Savior. So the uncovering of my righteousness and the discovering of Christ's righteousness are, as it were, two sides of one coin. And it's this that enables us to say then by faith, with David in Psalm 71:16, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Faith doesn't allow us to have any of our own apart from Christ. Psalm 71, verse 16. But secondly, and more directly now, faith wholeheartedly assents to the truth of the gospel. This is a quote, assents to the truth of the gospel is in quotation marks from the Westminster Larger Catechism, question 73. But the idea here is not just, again, a bare notional assent, but a wholehearted assent. Not just an intellectual assent, though it is that. But faith believes from the heart that which Scripture teaches about myself, about the holiness of God, and about the Saviorhood of Christ. And faith surrenders to that knowledge. It falls into the outstretched arms of God, receiving the Evangel, the Gospel. It says with Toplady, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. So faith flees with all the soul's poverty to Christ's riches, and with all the soul's guilt to Christ as reconciler, and with all the soul's bondage to Christ as liberator. And then thirdly, justifying faith is especially the act of what our forefathers called closing with Christ. And they meant by that the act of the soul by which a sinner lays hold of Christ and His righteousness and experiences pardon and peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4, verse 7. So that means that faith is nothing less than the means of God which unites a sinner with his Savior. Calvin put it this way, quote, faith justifies in no other way than as it introduces us into a participation of the righteousness of Christ. Faith introduces us into a participation of the righteousness of Christ. The old theologians used to speak of fides apprehensiva. Faith apprehends. Faith apprehends Christ. It closes with Him. It grasps Him in warm, believing embrace, surrendering all of self, clinging to His Word, relying on His promises, centering on His Son. Faith reposes in the person of Christ, coming, hearing, seeing, embracing, knowing, rejoicing, triumphing. Faith leaves its case in the hands of Christ as the great physician, takes His prescriptions, and follows him alone. Luther, grappling for an explanation of this apprehension, said, "Faith clasps Christ as a ring clasps its jewel. Faith weds the soul to Christ. It makes the soul partaker of every covenant mercy." I love this quote of Daniel Caudray, Cawdray, an old Puritan. He says this, "As the act of healing through the eyes of the Israelites and the brazen serpent went together, so in the act of justifying, these two, faith and Christ, have a mutual relation and must always concur. Faith as the action which apprehendeth, Christ as the object which is apprehended. So that neither the passion of Christ saveth without faith, nor doth faith help us unless it be in Christ, its object." So it's faith that joins me in the biblical language of Ephesians 5, the great mystery of the bride and the bridegroom. Faith joins me to Christ. And the word there in Ephesians 5 has the idea of cementing me. It cements me to Christ. It's an unbreakable tie. William Grinnell put it this way. He said, "With one hand, faith pulls off its own righteousness and throws it away. And with the other hand, it puts on the righteousness of Christ." And then fourthly, finally, faith lives out of Christ. The experiential dimension of faith isn't just getting saved. It isn't just initial peace that passes understanding. There's a faith union with Christ that enables Paul to say, Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So when we speak of faith's experiential dimension, we're speaking of a whole lifestyle, a whole worldview, a whole way of looking at things, a daily experience. Christ is the fountain to which I go daily by faith, to drink, to be sustained, to live. So being united to Christ by faith, the believer is objectively possessed of all Christ's benefits. And subjectively, he experiences those benefits as abundantly as the Spirit applies them, and he is capable of receiving them through apprehending Christ daily. One old Puritan put it this way, "Christ without us," meaning outside of us, "is the ground of our justification. Christ within is the fruit of our justification. It's an evidence of our vital union to Christ." So it's this Christ-centeredness that is really the hallmark of faith. We don't have faith in our faith. We don't even have faith in the faith. But we have faith in Christ. Yeah, Christ outside of us is the ground of our justification. And Christ within, the fruit of our justification. William Grinnell, a Christian, complete armor. So therefore, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is pleased with faith because faith is pleased with Christ. Christ honors faith the most of all graces, said Matthew Henry, because faith honors Christ the most. So faith has a very real experience in the daily life of God's people. It's been called the captain of all spiritual graces. Thomas Watson wrote this, "Love is the crowning grace in heaven, but faith is the conquering grace upon earth. Faith is the master wheel. It sets all the other graces a running. Other graces make us like Christ, but faith makes us members of Christ." So faith has this initiatory role. Everything in the spiritual life begins with faith. That's why you remember when we saw the charts in one of our classes of William Perkins and you, of the Ordo Salutis, the, how every aspect of Christ was, there was a line to faith. Faith is involved in everything of spiritual life. Another Puritan, George Swinock, says this, "Call forth first that commander-in-chief," he's speaking about faith, "call forth first that commander-in-chief and all the other private soldiers. The other graces will follow."